This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Very fitting music, School's Out for Summer, and it's actually a senior skip day at that terrific university, Greenville University. Joining us is Dr. Philby. Dr. Philby, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Happy May Day to you. It's a beautiful day, finally.
Tell us about this creative idea that's going to help the community, what these students are doing.
This is a great day. Yes, so our students have been trying to think about how do they engage with senior citizens in our community. They're aware that some older folks can sometimes feel lonely and socially isolated, just as students themselves do. And so they've been working on a project that they call Senior Skip Day in honor of Older American Month. And this today, they're working with agencies across Bond County. They're working with a regional elderly support group called Age Smart. They're working with the Greenville City Council, the Chamber of Commerce, the Greenville University Experience First. And we've got 70 students going through the community, helping senior citizens, the people who have served our community for the longest, are helping with cleaning gutters, moving boxes, fixing smoke alarms, painting, raking leaves, whatever they need doing, and it's just a great opportunity for them to be involved. And then throughout the day, they're going down to the Bond County Senior Center. They're engaging with some of the people who meet there. They're playing bingo. They've got live music. They're showing a movie they've been involved with producing from the Music Performers Trust Fund called Never Too Old, which is a documentary coming out of New York City, which our students have been helped promoting, which is just about how live music can impact people who are living in retirement homes or go day to day to the senior centers across the nation. And then our hope is that this becomes a model that can be used all across the country, where high school seniors and university college seniors can work alongside the longer serving citizens in their community to bless them and be blessed themselves.
Yeah, Doctor, great idea. And I'm curious how it evolved, how many years you've been doing this, because I'm sure, I don't even remember when Frank and I were skipping school. We probably went and got pizza. I doubt we were serving the community. So how did this come about?
You know, it really came out about as a result of our students thinking about it. So we've had three of our experience first groups thinking about how to work with senior citizens. One have been trying to focus here on locally, one have been trying to think about the state of Illinois, and one have been working with the documentary Never Too Old, and they came together and they thought, we can develop something we think is sustainable called Senior Skip Day. And so today, it's happening today, is the first time that it's ever been done. And already the city of Greenville are having a proclamation that they want to see it every year. They think it's something, already I'm hearing reports from what students are doing, and it's a fun day. So our seniors are engaged in it, and senior citizens are enjoying the interaction with our students. So today's the first day.
Dr. Philby, the amazing thing is that kids are now so self-absorbed in their own lives. And at that age, it's tough to think about others when all you're doing is trying to think about yourself. How do you think, you know, these kids realize that, boy, there's other purposes in life and we should be giving back?
Well, part of it is the whole mission of our institution, of Greenville University, that we want to produce students of character and service. But honestly, part of it is as our students have gone to interact with senior citizens. And so I was listening to a presentation yesterday, and one of the students said, you know, these people are just like us. They're older. They've done pranks in their life. They feel lonely at times. They feel excited. And I think they kind of thought, our students thought, These people that older, they're going to be different, but they have exactly the same challenges and more. And I think the students came back really energized. They felt they had really benefited just as they were able to be of benefit to the senior citizens. So it's been a good learning experience for our own students as well as a benefit for the people in our community.
Yeah, and Dr. Philby, remind everybody your story. That accent, is that North County, South County? No. Where? How many years at Greenville?
Overall, I've been at Greenville for nearly 14 years, but this is the end of my 6th year as president. So I come from near Cambridge in the United Kingdom originally, and then I worked in Dublin, Ireland for 16 years. So I'm now working in higher education in my third nation, and I love it. Greenville's a great place to be. And the Midwest, I like being in the Midwest. It's a great place to be, and I'm grateful to be here.
Great stuff. Well, congratulations. We really appreciate your time today. Another great story out of Greenville University. Dr. Philby, thanks so much for being a part of the program.
Thanks so much, and happy May Day, everyone.
All right. Dr. Ivan Philby from Greenville University.
And how about the other day, Frank? We were doing that Friday show. We were on remote at the Social Barn Grill. Charlie and I, I think it was Charlie, Hockey Bob, and I on the schedule. The three of us were hosting a show, and a guy came in to get registered because we were giving away Blues tickets. And he said, I just want you and Frank to know, I went to Greenville. I played soccer, but this guy's about 30. He said, I listen to you guys all the time, and I love hearing all the shout-outs to Greenville. He said, it's a hidden gem less than an hour from St. Louis. So a local guy listening that says, I'm a Greenville guy right here in your backyard.
Perfect. Lousy, hit the lever right now.
I don't understand why you let the things you did get so out of hand. You'd have managed
we
missed better
it by a little bit. We are trying to play the theme from... Well, we are playing it. The theme from Jesus Christ Superstar, because we have a superstar on our airwaves. The all-time leading save man for the Cardinals. 300 total, a two-time All-Star. And the news last week was big. Jason Isringhausen is going into the St. Louis Cardinal Hall of Fame. Jason, congratulations. Your thoughts on this great honor.
Hey, guys, how are you today? Just pretty excited. I think myself and the family are really excited about what's going on, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And, it's going to be a little nerve-wracking on the 24th when we have the ceremony, but really, really looking forward to it. Just a dream come true.
How did you find out, and how do you handle the process? Because you look at the names and Tom Herr and John Tudor and Hernandez, some great Cardinals, your teammate Renteria. Did you ever kind of handicap the race in your head and said, boy, I wonder, he's probably going to get in, but maybe I can join him? Give me an idea of the process and then how you actually found out.
Well, I really thought in my mind that it would probably be Roland and Keith Hernandez. When you look at just overall numbers, Keith Hernandez had some really, really good years here. I know he got traded to the enemy at the time, and but I was hoping that would play a little bit into it. And I think I was going against Keith. But, Mr. DeWitt gave me a call, Mr. DeWitt Sr., and congratulated me and told me I was going to be a welcome addition to the Hall of Fame. And it's just been kind of a whirlwind of days for me. And then took my daughter. She committed to Tennessee Tech on a 4-year volleyball scholarship. So it's been a pretty good good few days for the Isringhausen family, so to speak.
Boy, that is awesome. Hey, I want to take you back, Jason, to earlier in your career. A lot of people don't know this, our younger audience, but you came up as a starter, and you actually had a really good season. I think you were like 9-2, and then all of a sudden, all these bad things happened, like tuberculosis, a broken wrist, 3 major operations, and if those don't happen, then you're probably a starting pitcher, and who knows if you're in the Hall of Fame. In a sense, it was a blessing in disguise because you became an elite closer.
We talked about it with the Mets from day one, about being a reliever. They said I had the makeup and the stuff to do it. But when you have guys like Armando Benitez and John Franco in front of you, we did the starter route to get innings in and made it to the big leagues as a starter, and as you said, had some crazy things happen to me, maybe a couple of self-inflicting things like the broken wrist. I feel for Alex Reyes. I've been there, done that. It's like you said, everything happens for a reason. It was a blessing in disguise. It gave me a chance to really, concentrate more as a reliever than a starter, knowing that I could get in the game every day. Kind of keeps me, kept me involved a little bit more. And it was just, I got out to Oakland. I got traded to Oakland. Billy Bean said he wanted me to pitch at the end of the bullpen, and Doug Jones, the crafty veteran, was down there and talking to me every day about certain things and how to let things go, and, you know, making sure guys beat you to the big part of the ballpark. And, you know, back in the mid-90s or so, you know, we didn't have to worry about guys going off the field homers as much. And but the game's changed, and these guys have to throw in now a little bit more. But, you know, my idea is to be able to control that outside part of the plate and let them hit it to the outfielders. And, you know, it worked out for the best.
All right, because you were a starter and then you became a reliever, was there a snob factor early on? Like, do starters say, I'm not a bullpen guy, and like, oh, that's for somebody else to do? Is there sort of a hierarchy within the game where the reliever's like, yeah, screw you, starters. You don't pitch every day like we do. Is there a little rivalry?
I think the relievers get a little jealous that the starters get to golf more. I think that's about it. But their golf game gets better than the relievers, that's for sure. But, no, I think, you know, everybody's got their place. And without one or the other, teams just don't exist. And as we've seen today, the emphasis on bullpens and has gotten a lot bigger. So these guys have to realize that being in a bullpen is not always a bad thing. You're going to get pressed on. You're going to get pitched. You're going to get in big situations. And, you know, you got to have a job in the big leagues. And if that's what it takes, try to express to these kids that it doesn't matter how you get there. Once you get there, you just got to stay.
Jason, it seems like just yesterday that I interviewed you at the press conference in 2002 when you joined the Cardinals. And I still remember, I said, what's the key to being a good reliever? And you had this one sentence, short memory.
Yeah, it's something that it's not always the easiest thing to have. But that short-term memory to where you can screw up a game that your teammates worked so hard for 2.5 hours, 3 hours sometimes, and then you come in there and throw one misplaced pitch, and the game's over, you blow the save, and you got to put it behind you, and you got to put it behind you and be all ready to go the next day. It's not for everybody, and it takes some time usually to get used to it, and, you know, I think it's an art. You see a lot of guys try to pitch in the ninth inning. It's not for everybody. I still think it's the hardest thing to do in sports. Probably that and field goal kicking. You know, if you're all alone, so to speak, when you do your job, nobody talks to you. It's only when you do bad that guys want to talk to you. So, you know, you're either the hero or the goat every single day. There's really no in-between line.
Jason Isringhausen, the newest member, along with Scott Rowland, Mort Cooper, going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame later this summer. You've had many managers, coaches along the way, but I know you had a pretty good connection with Tony La Russa. Well, he and I happen to do a weekly podcast, so today I asked him for his take on his former closer.
Very close, because, you know, he's got a big heart. I mean, he cares about his teammates, and he just gets a little distracted. He reminds me of Edmonds once in a while. You know, they're very big talents, and sometimes they would get distracted, you know, as you want to, you know, maybe fall off a building just to break something so he'd have another scar. You know, he's a little bit crazy. But when it came to playing the game and competing, I mean, he was a dead game competitor, and he had big talent.
He said he might fall just to get another scar. A little while, he compared you to Edmonds. He loves you both, but I feel like Edmonds and you, Tony was like dad. He yelled at you every once in a while, and you guys messed with him a little bit too.
Yeah, you know, I owe a lot to Tony. I think Tony had a lot more faith in me than I did myself at times. I think that was the only thing I ever faulted Tony for, was sticking me out there when I didn't need to be out there. But he always told me, you know, 70% of you is better than, you know, 100% of other guys. So sometimes you just have to go out there and you got to will it done. You know, the mind's more powerful than the body at times. And I always prided myself on being mentally strong and being mentally stronger than the next guy to be able to block things out, especially maybe a little ache or pain here or an injury. I think Jimmy was the same way. You know, you go out there and you're playing for your teammates, you're playing for your organization, your family, and you kind of put yourself aside. And, you know, you put yourself through the rigors of 6 months of baseball, and when you do it a lot of years, you know, you have some wear and tear. And once you retire, you have some surgeries and stuff, but when it comes down, then you come back to getting the red jacket, it makes it all worthwhile. And sometimes you don't think it was, and then you get that phone call from Mr. DeWitt, and it just puts things in perspective. You did things the right way. You did it for the right reasons. And that's, you know, being able to stand up there with Scotty and having Carp and Jimmy, guys that I played with behind me to talk with, I mean, it's going to be a great day.
Cardinals Hall of Famer Jason Isringhausen with us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. You know, Jason, a lot of times, or it's happened quite a bit where a local guy comes home and it's really difficult and it just doesn't work out. With you, it obviously worked out, the all-time saves leader. But how difficult was it at times when things weren't going well for you in your hometown?
Well, I think it was harder on my friends and family than it was myself. I mean, I was able to really block things out. And the main thing for me was mainly just to learn how to say no to people, people pulling you from a lot of directions, wanting tickets here and there. But, you know, every once in a while you get a marquee at the bar or at a restaurant saying, you know, we need to replace our closer and things like that. But, you know, Dad used to go up to the coffee shop every morning and guys would give him crap if I did bad. So then I would get a phone call from Dad saying, you're making me look bad, so you better pick it up, and, you know, things like that. Dad was my biggest critic. I mean, without him, you know, I wouldn't be here. He always pushed me, never, you know, perseverance, never quit. And it's just things like that that I get to talk about for the Red Jacket. It's going to be pretty emotional. I hope I get through it without making a fool out of myself, but being from the hometown, like you said, it can be difficult, but it's just a matter of blocking those distractions out and just doing your job.
How about a thought on Scott Rolen going in with you? And does he realize he'll actually have to get up and give a speech? He's going to have to talk at this point. does he know that that's part of the deal?
I think he's going to do just fine. He's going to do better than people think. Scotty's got a lot to say as long as you can get him to talk. But when I talk about Scotty, I mean I. Pure, you know, we all talk about the Cardinal way, and I think Scott Rowan was pure and just nothing but Cardinal way, the way he went about his business, hitting his home run, the fastest shot of him, seeing around the bases, gold glover, all-star. Just did things the right way. I just look at him as a big-time grinder with tons of talent, and he's very deserving. And like I said, being able to be inducted with Scotty, it's kind of that next generation of those 2,000 teams are getting in, and it's just very exciting time for us, and I hopefully exciting for the fans that were with us during those, you know, mid-2000s, and should be a lot of fun.
So what are you thinking now when you see the present Cardinal closer come on and throw 104 miles an hour?
I just keep saying, you know, bigger, faster, stronger. You know, I've dealt with Jordan throughout the minor leagues. There was never a shortage of talent. That was never the problem. We just had to work on his, maybe maturity would be the right word to say. And, you know, he's matured on the job. From last year to this year, I see a 100% or 1,000% turnaround in the way he's going about his business, talking with guys in the clubhouse, talking with front office people, just the way he's going about his business is off the charts right now, you know. And I'm sure we all have our little hiccups here and there, but watching him throw, one thing I never had was a sinker. And to watch that thing move the way it does at that velocity, it can't be a fun at bat. And now that he's throwing his breaking ball, Mr. Maddox cleaned up his delivery a little bit, looks a little more free and easy. He's able to throw his breaking ball for strikes more. And when you can do two things like that with that kind of horsepower that he's got behind it, it makes it really, really hard for the hitters.
I'll tell you what, he's got a little swagger too, doesn't he? He doesn't seem like he would ever – Tony would always say a guy would spook. He doesn't look like it, and we're around him a little bit. He's a pretty confident guy.
He, you know, he's always been a little fool of himself, and which is you have to have that to be successful. And I think in Major League Sports, you can't walk around on eggshells. You got to have a little swagger, a little aura about you. And he's a cocky young kid. He'll get knocked down from time to time, but knowing him, he's got that demeanor about him where he wants to get right back out there the next day. And with those kind of weapons, I mean, who wouldn't want to throw every day?
Final thought: if we get you out on the mound right now, how hard do you think you could throw?
Like right now. Right now, I could still get it above 85, but give me a couple weeks and I could get it up to 90 again, I think. Just once, though. Like, as good as that once as I ever was. That song is me right now. But just my arm's the only thing that doesn't hurt anymore. It's the knees, the back, the hips, everything else is shot. But yeah, I missed the competition, that's for sure. But watching these kids that we've coached over the last couple of years, it's a lot of fun and even more nerve-wracking than I ever thought it would be.
Well, if you can throw 90 at age 46, that's pretty impressive.
Well, I might be fibbing a little bit. That's the old swagger trying to come out again, I guess you could say. But, no, I have no idea, but –
I can still throw a cutter and a curveball, so that'll be my saving grace.
Frank, I'm just glad his daughter got a college scholarship, because I'd hate for him to have to open that wallet. I mean, he got this is, you know, he's not working anymore,
yeah.
So this is huge.
Poor
this
guy.
Not having no income these days. This is a big deal.
It's a proud papa moment when you get that call from the college, and everybody that has children has been through it before. It's an amazing feeling. So proud papa moment for sure.
Great stuff. Congratulations, young man. We'll see you at your Hall of Fame induction.
All right, guys. I look forward to it.
All righty. Jason Isringhausen joining us. McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, is offering incredible deals throughout the entire month of May during their Memorial Day sales event. Buy a new McBride home in May, receive $2,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. Celebrate the season with incredible savings and move in before the end of the summer with nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis. There are homes for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Homes to fit every lifestyle and designed with you in mind. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details on their Memorial Day sales event. We'll be right back.